And I'm actually preaching from 2 Kings 6, 1 through 7, touching on some of these things that we've already talked about this morning. But in this part of God's Word, we find an account of something that took place in the northern kingdom of Israel. And it's a story that shows us that the surprises God's people encounter in life, the ones we don't like, the ones which upset us, whether you think they're big or even the ones you think are so little they don't really matter very much, they are surprises that are big enough for God to care about. In other words, what happens in your life matters to God. You need to know this. And for you, it is really everything. Everything matters because of God's love relationship with you in Christ Jesus. Now, being a pastor, I've encountered numerous Christians who don't know this, or they have a hard time accepting it, but you need to know it. And you need to know God's care at another very personal level. This is important. You need to know that God really cares about what you think matters, what matters to you. You need to be encouraged by this. It's a fact, and you should let this fact be part of driving your actions. So along this line, it's very vital to be assured that what we think are categories of what matters, like what's big, what's small, are not the same kinds of bigness and smallness criteria that God knows in respect to our needs. Now, of course, God does not give you everything you want, as Chan was saying this morning as he prayed, and he always has the best reason for withholding certain desires from us. And if you have a hard time figuring out why your loving God withholds certain things from you, just know it's because God has perfect super wisdom in his sovereign control. So even though we think there are very good reasons to justify getting what we want or something should change, God knows the higher reason for not granting everything, not changing everything. He knows what you truly need at each point in your life. And so that's what he gives. What you need in his grand understanding of the grand scheme of all things. And the scriptures are very clear on this. Paul told the church in Philippi that he received all their financial giving. So now he had an abundance of money. And he used it for ministry. He used it as he went along to eat and so forth. But then Paul added, "And my God, according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus, will supply all your needs." He said this back to the Philippians. Now, this enduring truth applies to you, not just to Paul, not just to the Philippian Christians. God will supply all your needs. It's a truth. It's a fact. It's a promise according to his glorious riches. So we must believe this, remembering that our wants, what we want, are not always what God knows to be our true needs in his plans for us in our life in Christ. But we also know that in his perfect super wisdom and his sovereign control, he really does see things through eyes of compassion, through grace, through mercy, and his love, loving provision. And so he takes cares of the needs of his people based on his wise determination in each circumstance. And this means he provides your wants when it matches his ultimate wisdom. His will is for you to have faith in this relationship. And to get into the fullness of this aspect of your relationship with him, he wants you to trust that your concerns are big enough for him to care about. And so prepare your heart for this sermon. Your concerns are important enough for God to care about. Let's pray. Lord, I ask as I go into the 2 Kings chapter on this theme about our concerns being important enough to you to care about, that we'd be edified and built up with what is preached. We would internalize it, and then we would also use it to bless others externally. In Christ's name, amen. Now, looking back to our illustration in ancient Israel, the people of God, we find there was a small community of godly men living on Mount Carmel, and they were God's people. And this is because they were in covenant with God. This community was also unique. It was made up of prophets, and it was made up of pupils of prophets, kind of like prophet apprentices. And in respect to this, we today, we got to consider this, we are connected to those people. In other words, they make up our spiritual roots. They're the people of God. In our day, we are the people of God in Christ Jesus. We are the ones who are in covenant with God now. And so you are like them in certain important ways, especially that you are one of the people of God that he cares about in his special relationship in this generation, and he has this relationship in each generation. And in Christ Jesus, you have the special gift of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And God uses you by his Spirit. He uses your time, treasure, your talents, whatever they are, to glorify him with your life. And for you, for me, according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus, he will supply all of our needs. Now, there in Israel, their community at Mount Carmel was significant for those people because the location had become famous when the prophet Elijah had challenged over 850 pagan prophets there. And when Elijah challenged the pagan prophets, there was not yet a community living on Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel had an altar of God on it, but sinful pagan worshiping Israelites tore it down. Well, all that changed the day that Elijah challenged them. And what happened was that the pagan false priests tried to call on their false gods to manifest some sort of response to their sacrifice, and nothing happened. And that's because false gods do not care about what anyone cares about. They are false, and Satan is behind the lie that they're true. And Satan doesn't care about anything you care about, just making you sad and defeated. So, the real prophet of the real God, Elijah, poured water all over this altar that he rebuilt and all over a sacrifice that he put there. He literally drenched it. And then God consumed Elijah's sacrifice with fire from heaven. And then Elijah had all those pagan prophets executed by the Israelites who witnessed what happened. Well, now there's this prophet community, and it developed on Mount Carmel. And Elisha, the prophet that followed Elijah, the one with the double portion anointing that he received from Elijah, Elisha was the head prophet of this community. But there was a problem. Over time, things take us by surprise. And no matter how much you plan, surprises come, right? No matter how much you plan, you're still going to be surprised. And they can be called little surprises. They can be called little concerns. They might be considered big. Now, with those people, the surprise was not too daunting. It's just that the community had grown to the point that the place was starting to seem overcrowded to some of the people there. Now, of course, such things can be a matter of opinion. And so that's why someone else might not think it was a big concern. But others think that it is. And the prophets and the students thought it was a big concern. And so they went to Elisha. They had this idea. And they said they thought that Mount Carmel and this prophet village had become too cramped. So they asked to go over to the Jordan River where the cedar trees were growing. And they had this plan. The plan was for each man to cut down a cedar tree from the banks of the river and use it to construct a place for each person to live there near the Jordan River. Well, Elisha thought it sounded reasonable. So he told them, go down to there and cut down the trees and build a village there. Well, they wanted Elisha to go live with them. So they asked Elisha to go with them to this new community they were building by the Jordan. Elisha decided to go live by the Jordan with everyone else. And so when they got to the Jordan River, the work began. Each of them started cutting down trees. And we all know how surprises come to us as we go along in life. And such a surprise was about to happen. One of the men was cutting down a tree. All of a sudden, the axe head on the end of his axe handle came off. It flew off. It flew into the river where it couldn't be recovered. Lost. Now, immediately, this man became concerned. Not just because he lost this valuable axe head, but he had borrowed the axe. And so in panic, he goes to Elisha, and he explains that the axe was not his own property, and now he lost it, and it went over there into the water. He can't get it back. Now, going to Elisha, we've got to think about this. This is a picture illustration. Get this picture illustration. It's an analogy of going to God with your concerns, because Elisha represents God's will, and he represents God's word. Okay? Elisha also represents God's means of implementing his will. And so Elisha asked this guy, what area did this axe head go into? So the man goes, he shows Elisha the part of the river that it flew into. Then Elisha cut off a stick and he threw it into the area where the axe head had sunk. Now immediately, when throwing the stick into the water, the iron axe head floated to the top of the water. And this process shows something which illustrates where this sermon has been going. God thought that this loss was a concern, follow what I'm saying, that was big enough for him to care about to the extent of doing something about it in his wisdom concerning the grand scheme of things. In fact, something supernatural and miraculous and mind-blowing. An iron axe head floating to the top of the water. And so now this axe head's floating there within reach. So Elijah tells this man, you know, go pick it up off the top of the water. So the man goes over, he reaches out and he gets it. And so we see that this man who belonged to the Lord was doing like we all do. We belong to the Lord. And essentially, he's going along in life trying to get things done. Just working through the day, the week, right? And all of a sudden, in the middle of work, he gets a surprise. And the surprise is not something he wanted to happen. Surprise caused concern. But then the man got another surprise, this miracle answer to his concerns. And the situation was fixed by God because foremost, it was important enough to God to care about. Now listen, that man was not more special, more virtuous, holy, or deserving than you. And what happened with him illustrates how it really is with you and your relationship with God. There's so much depth to this relationship. Paul the Apostle shares an aspect of it even more in Philippians 2. And what Paul wrote opens up revelation of God's concern for you in every single little detail, even in connecting the details together. Paul wrote, by the way, Philippians from prison. And so in writing from prison, we already recognize that Paul had a concern, right? I mean, it's being there stuck in prison. And God doesn't always release his people from prison. But this time God did. And Paul wrote, explaining that God eventually delivered Paul from prison through the prayers of others. It happened. But that's not all. And Paul was convinced about that, but that's not all. But Paul also had a helper named Epaphroditus who was in the city. So Paul's there in prison, and Paul mentioned to the Philippians that Epaphroditus had been sick. But Epaphroditus was not only sick, he was sick to the point of death. He was dying. And in describing the situation to the Philippian Christians, Paul said, "But God had mercy on him and healed him." Now, this is an example of God caring about the concerns of his people. God heals. That's why we prayed for healing this morning. It's not just a ritual. It's not just a ceremony that we just do because we're all together. We're tapping into God. T-A-P, turn and pray. Remember that. We're tapping into God. And God heals. Now, he doesn't always heal every single time we're concerned about someone's health. The decision has to do with his perfect sovereign determination, but that doesn't mean that God's not concerned. Yet, when God does heal, it shows his concern in that particular instance was such that he decided it was best to heal in the grand scheme of things. And these are all truths that we find repeated over and over and over again in the Bible. God is concerned about your same concerns. But God doesn't make every piece of iron in your life that falls into the waters of your life float to the top. But the fact that he did illustrates his real concern to you to understand that it's there, his concern, in whatever you're going through. And it's the principle that he cares to do such things when he thinks it's the best decision in his perfect understanding. But there's something else about Paul and Epaphroditus and Philippi and what happened. And I still need to bring this out. It's an amazing aspect of this principle of your concerns being important enough for God to care about. Now remember, Paul said this, God had mercy on Epaphroditus, and so God healed him. Well, listen to what Paul says next. God not only had mercy on Epaphroditus, but also on me, Paul, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow in respect to Epaphroditus' illness. Now you see, this is the way it is with God. Yes, God cared about the concerns of Epaphroditus. Healing Epaphroditus was God's dramatic demonstration of what he did with his care. But in the same healing, the multifaceted purposes of God, in the same healing, God always had Paul's concerns in mind too. Think this way about things. When what God's doing, he has your concerns in mind in life. And this is what I'm talking about. You're important enough, and what matters to you is important. And so God's multifaceted will in Epaphroditus being healed by his sovereign hand also showed that Paul's concerns about his own sorrow were important enough for God to care about too. So Paul said this, God had mercy on Epaphroditus, but also on Paul, so that. So that is the important thing Paul's getting out in this. So that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. You know, Epaphroditus' illness, probable death, by the way, if God didn't intervene, would have been just another sorrow heaped upon Paul. And he was going through many, many, many. And so, yes, you can pray for others to be healed out of concern for them, while at the same time, think about it this way, at the same time, also wanting your concerns about sorrow to be part of what God sees as important. This is an area where you say, you know, you hear people talking to each other and they go, well, why are you making this about you? Well, wait a minute. When did God ever say that you can't make it about not only you and them and maybe others as well, see? Because he cares. Why is Paul making it about him? You can find a lot of this in Scripture, by the way. Now, in looking at this, I think about myself and my relationship with God. I think about my life. I think about going along. And I know what it means to get surprises and concerns. I get them all the time. I have a lot going on lately. And things hit me. I don't expect to happen. Things that upset me, they upset my flow, the flow of my plans. And the thing is, I'm like everyone else when it comes to the kind of knowing it's inevitable sense, right? Don't you kind of know it's inevitable that these things are mistakes are going to happen, emergencies, disasters are going to happen sooner or later? And I say we kind of know because we have the intelligence to realize that someday such things are going to happen, maybe even today. I mean, we know it's just a matter of time before another concern comes along. And so the sense of kind of knowing is that you forget about the expectation as you go through life. I mean, you're just getting involved. You're going on. You're distracted. You're moving on. And the sense that you kind of know is that when mistakes, emergencies, and disasters happen, you still get taken off guard. And so what you kind of knew was coming, you now know as what has happened, and so now you're concerned about whatever it is that's come along. You can even get frustrated and angry and depressed about these things. And yet, you kind of knew they were coming, right? And something else I know about myself is that I can get into that way of thinking where I put those concerns into categories of big or little. I mean, it can be reasonable to categorize life events as something small or something big. I mean, it just makes sense. You know, something like somebody dying is different than spilling milk. But making categories can become bad if I start to consider my view of certain things I'm concerned about as not really enough to go to God for help. And if I think it's not important enough to go to God, I'm not thinking it's important enough for God to care about. You see how it gets? That's the circle, the cycle. We don't want to get into that. And so, and me too, I must be careful not to go in one certain direction. And it's the way that looks at things even, now this is the direction that looks at things like political tragedies, plagues, world catastrophes, war, other world events that seem so huge that my little opinion on them might seem like it's not big enough for God to consider. Don't go there. Because it's very tempting to think that way, like, well, who am I anyway? No. You're a child of God in Christ Jesus. See, God's not telling you to think in the way that things are too big and you're not big enough for God to consider. But I can also go the other direction. I can think that what I call little surprises are just too tiny for God to care about, like spilling milk. But here's the thing. God never told me that either. He doesn't say it in his word. People just come up with this stuff. And the reality is that all my concerns are important enough for God to care about. Yours are. And so what I know is I need to do this, is think about what God's word tells me. That's what it is, folks. It's God's word. That's what we rely upon. This is why this guy went to Elisha. Whenever you are confused, go to God's word in faith. And we know we need to believe God's word. We know that we need to operate according to what it says in faith. And so what is God telling you in his word? That's the issue. God's word for that situation through Elijah was, to him, cut a stick. God's word to Elisha was, throw the stick in the water. God's answer for the man with who lost the axe head and for Elijah was what? An iron axe head floating like styrofoam to the top of the water. That's provision from him, see? And so listen to God's word. Listen to Matthew. It has what Jesus wants us to know about God's provision, about our own concerns, about his concerns, about our relationship with him in faith. Jesus speaking, he said, ask of God, and if it's in accord with his will, it will be given to you. And now Jesus didn't say, ask whatever it was that's too little or too big and wonder if it's about that. No, didn't talk about that. He said, do you have any concerns? Then ask. And Jesus is saying God cares. And that's the reason why God gives anything to anyone. It's because he cares. And then Jesus said, seek and you will find. He said, knock and the door will be opened to you. Who's the door opener? God. Why does he open the door? Because he cares about your concern. Then Jesus asked this, what person is there among you who, when his child asks for a loaf of bread, will give his child a stone? Well, Jesus meant that God knows what to give you. And whatever God gives, it's good, it's relevant, right? You're God's child in Christ Jesus. And Jesus asked, or if his child asks for a fish, he will not give his child a snake, will he? He meant a poisonous snake. See, God knows what to give you. He'll give you the wisest, most loving, and best thing. And then Jesus said that if you, despite being evil, meaning though you're not perfectly righteous in all your thoughts and actions, since you're that, Jesus said, and yet you know how to give your good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? See? God knows what's good, and he is good, and he does give good much more than we do to you. And he cares way more than we do. And he's concerned way more than we are, even about your own concerns. Think about it that way. So my urging to you is to be the asker who asks. Ask in faith that God is truly concerned with what you're concerned with. And then, in faith, let God decide the answer. Recognize that things that concern you are always going to be there in this life. You know, an axe head falling into the water is like any surprise that catches you off guard. But the illustration shows you that God intervenes with good to those who ask him to help their concerns. But you need to go to God about it. Don't be hesitant. You know, the man who lost the axe head went to Elijah with the problem. And it's the same kind of faith issue that you and I encounter. That man knew what everybody knew. Elisha had the double portion anointing from Elijah. That man knew Elisha's prophetic anointing was power from God, not from Elisha himself. So instead of just giving up to go find the man he borrowed the axe from, you know, okay, I lost your axe head, I'm sorry, in the water. No, he decided to make the situation known to the one he thought could do something about it, the one with the double portion anointing from God, the one that represents the flow of the power of God, going to God in the picture analogy. And he didn't say, well, I have a concern, but it's not the kind of thing to bother God with. So small, how could God possibly care about this? No. Again, that would have been unbiblical thinking. Would have been a faith-diminishing compromise concerning what God says. And that's not what we want, right? It would be the world's way of believing in the world's opinion about what might be big enough for God or might be too small for God to care about. So the big point is that recognizing what the little concerns are is to actually be recognizing that you should be going to God with every concern, everything. It doesn't matter what it is. You can't wear God out, and he wants you to. So you just got to keep, go to God with everything. This is the Christian relationship way that God wants. And so you got a lot of teaching in the Bible on living. The Bible says to work. God has ordained work. It says do things. But you also know that God also works beyond your work. Keep going to him. So, you know, making attempts to do something in your life, like get an axe head when it falls into the water, that's fine. But the river current in your life may be too swift. The water in your life may be too deep. You might not even know how to do it. Your work is not working. But your Father in heaven is always there to help you in everything. And he does care. I want to keep pushing that. So I ask, what's concerning you in your life right now? I mean, is there any issue that you're concerned with that you think is too big for God to care about? Stop thinking that way. Is there something you think is too small for God to care about, your concern in respect to it? Stop thinking that way. Change your mind on it and go to God with everything. Go in faith that God helps those who go to him with their concerns. And let's go to him now. Let's do that together. Let's pray.